Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to our 35th episode.
Woo.
We're so happy you're still with us.
You're still with us. Now that like more than I feel like two-thirds of our podcast life has been over Zoom because shit went to hell in a handbag.
Yeah.
Basket? Handbasket?
To hell in a handbasket.
Okay.
What were you saying?
That's what I thought. Handbag.
Hell in a handbag. I like that. That's like a nice like femme mod thing to say.
Sex in the City.
But speaking of hell in a handbag, basket.
Oh, yeah.
What have
SOS
you?
SOS moments. So today, I'm very excited. This is our first ever pod crossover. So we have a guest on who has his own podcast, and we are going to be on his as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll be promoting both. Today we have comedian, actor, dancer, host of the podcast Turning Coal into Diamonds. His name is Gerard Cole. Coal into Diamonds.
Get it?
and he has incredible stories to share. Really want you guys to, you know, tune into his podcast as well, because it shares a lot of the similar, basically the human experience and how we all dig ourselves out of the holes that we dig for ourselves.
Yup. And thank you to Jacob, our dear friend Jacob, who has a web series called Searching for Josh Brolin. And that's how we're on that too. So we'll give a shout out to that when that airs. Mm-hmm. I feel like that might air before this airs, but we'll find out. But thank you to Jacob. And yeah, so without further ado, enjoy.
All right. Welcome to the pod, Gerard Cole.
Yay. Hi, guys. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Of course. I'm really excited. I'm nervous. I will say that.
Yeah. No need to be nervous here, because we are fools in our own right.
Yes.
Quick disclaimer. And, yeah. My hair is just quarantined. This blue is a very vibrant, beautiful blue color before. So anybody watching, don't judge.
Are you gonna dye it again soon, you think?
I want to, but like when the second wave happened, my dye lady, the lady who does the, because blonde, you know, is so, I don't know if you guys have ever been blonde, but it's crazy. Like to get a good blonde, it's work. So she's very nervous and she's doing the safety thing, which I love and I'm all about. Mm-hmm. So
I wish all my friends say I should go blonde and I'm too scared, so I just buy
wigs. Because you had
I just saw a Facebook ad for guy wigs and I was like, I'm you know, I might be on it.
Listen, we all need to do what we need to do. Alyssa had.
That's what I think. It's all about the wigs, honestly. And Amazon, don't knock it. Don't knock it.
Yeah, it's true. Alyssa had a blonde wig for her birthday last year, and it was so flattering. It was like a honey blonde. Ooh. We're all like, oh my god.
It was I called it my Ivanka wig.
Oh, god. I love that.
Anyway, enough about my wigs. Or am I right?
So,
first of all, we are so excited. To have Gerard on because, oh no, we've had podcast hosts before, but we're just, I mean, we're just so excited to kind of like share like our platform or whatever with someone who's doing the same work. And it's just a beautiful thing to do that. And we're so thankful that Jacob hooked us up with you.
Oh, kudos to Jacob. Real talk.
Yeah, I love him. True. But to jump right in, let's hear in like a little sentence or two what your SOS moment is.
My SOS moment is leaving a job for, well, I'm going to rephrase that. So when I first moved to LA, I wanted to be a journalist of some sort. Mm-hmm. And I got my first writing job in the mix of working at a cafe. And that cafe gave me a really big salary to become a manager for that cafe and really like take over kind of really, like co-owner. It was crazy. And so I really had a struggle of like what to do, because it was the most money I had ever made. And so I left the writing job, which was my dream job, and for the cafe. And then that cafe went and closed down like 7 months later. And I was in this.
Oh my God.
WTF of like, who am I? What am I going to do now? Where do I go? Like, just, and that's really what, that finding myself is what led me to become a comedian. So, like, it was really.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, it's like a little teaser for your.
That's
what we want to know. Like, what? Yeah, because we're going to, you know, go through your story leading up to your SOS moment. But kind of backtracking before that happened to you, how content were you in your everyday life? Like, how aligned did you feel with your purpose before that moment happened?
You know, I felt really good because I was just kind of fresh in LA, kind of figuring myself out. And it felt like I was doing that because, like, especially having that writing job, like, it started off not really paid. And so that's why I had this cafe job, but I felt really like, oh my goodness, I'm really, and I honestly got that job because of the cafe. It was one of our regulars. So it was a really good mix of like my roommates were, we were really ambitious together and like really motivating each other to be our best selves in each other's fields or in our own fields. And so I really felt good, but like I definitely in that moment of leaving the writing job, that's when I really was questioning my purpose more than ever because I was like, am I really loving this because of the money or am I really loving this because I do get to really create this cafe and my own image and my own ideas and, you know, have this creative say, you know?
Yeah. And how did you come to that conclusion? Because I feel like, you know, as a server and actor, like I mean, I never had, you know, like a writing job or something that was more aligned with my creative side. So I feel like that going back and forth with that is just so, it's such a mind fuck.
It really was. It really was. And for me, I think this is really awesome to talk about. I came from a single mom household. So I saw my mom struggling a lot as a child. And I'm first generation American. My mom's side of the family's from Liberia, West Africa. And my parents were separated when I was very young. And so a lot of my life before deciding to even come to LA was trying to find a very stable way of living. Because I didn't want to ever struggle, and not to say my mom provided a beautiful life for me, and I always wanted to like make sure that I could give back to her and my future family in an abundant way. And so seeing the opportunity to like create a business that was doing pretty well, and honestly it wasn't just like the business wasn't doing well, that's why it shut down. There was a lot of other things with like the location and the landlord and other stuff that happened. Unfortunately, but that moment was a time that I was like, oh man, this could be a moment I could have the most stability. Cause I think we also know like even having that, like getting that role or whatever, sometimes you're like, I hope it gets picked up or I hope it continues or, you know, so I was like, this might be an opportunity to not have to worry about the future as much, you know?
That's a lot. That's really good context because I think that's exceptionally relatable, especially for artists. It's a very unstable, no matter what your art form is, it's just unstable for a long time. Like it's very hard and it's up and down. And then coming from, like you said, with a single mother who did like an incredible job but it is instilled in you. I mean, survival is like at the forefront of so many people's minds and especially when it's just you and your mom. And then, you know, I feel that with my parents and I had both parents, but the desire to give back is just like because of how grateful you are for what you've received from them. And it's like, I understand that. I think that's beautiful. Because you had very valid reasons to make the decision you made, I'm wondering if like in retrospect, when you look back, do you think, though, that you were going against your gut? Did your gut tell you not to? Or do you think that in the moment you were doing what your heart was telling you to do?
I was doing what my heart told me to do, because what that opportunity really was an opportunity. Like, it was such like the LA thing where it was like the owner had a big investor that was investing in the cafe. And I started off just as a barista. But I saw the opportunity and I loved the owner and what she was doing. I really felt like my heart was in the company. So immediately I was always trying to, like, because it was a startup as well. Like, I had, my roommate was a graphic designer. I was like, oh, let my roommate do the new menus for us. Or I'll even go, I'm great with people. I'll go across, because it was right across from 3rd Street Promenade. Or not the 3rd Street Promenade, I'm sorry, the Beverly Center on 3rd Street. And right. So I was like, I'll go to the mall, like, pass out flyers, get people. Like, so I was really... And all of that was from a heart, like a really heartfelt place. And the owner and the investor were very hands-on. They saw that. So they really were like, we'll let you do whatever you want. And this also for me was like, if I do really well at this, they were talking about other locations. Like, right. You know, there was a lot of opportunity. And I went to school also. I grew up, my parents are both... very business oriented. So there was still like, as much as I'm an artist, I was like, man, this is business. This is like, I can do this. You know what I mean? And so like that part of me was like, totally, I'm doing what I want. But the artist in me was always the artist in me. Like, what, like, I crave something else. And that's really, I didn't know it was comedy, but I started just like looking for other outlets, and that would really led me into that way. But I didn't take that jump again until the, you know, we were like, we're not going to renew the location, and, you know, just the time to start up in between finding a new spot or redesigning it, all of that stuff. And like, they were open to paying me in between, but that was my opportunity to once again reflect on, like, what do I really want to do? You know?
Yeah.
I was seeing this as the universe saying, like, take a break. You know, you've done this experience. Do you want to keep going with this or see what's next? Because the investor was still very hands-on with my thoughts or what location we were thinking of. And, but yeah, just... I think that was the moment when I was like, you know, I'm done chasing the money or the stability and just literally going for what drives me. And I was unemployed in between that period for, you know, like 6 or 7 months, and it was a rough time. And it was like, and because of, like, I wasn't receiving unemployment and stuff. It was just, it was a really rough moment, and it really, like, it was an SOS, because I was like, and like, there was a period of time where I think I thought, like, do I go back home? Am I a failure now? Like, am I stupid for even leaving that original job and that experience I would have gotten there? And then going from making decent money, good money, to like actually like, where, like, what's gonna happen next?
How do I eat dinner?
I'm interested too, like, besides, you know, wanting to make money, did you feel like there was a part of you, because I mean, for me this is a yes, but being an artist was a way to self express your identity, and what do you feel like that was kind of on the back burner a little bit?
Yes and no, because one of the things that was really cool, once again, that I was blessed, was I did really get a creative say in what happened a lot at the cafe. Like, because I was still an artist and had artist friends, like, I started having like a mic night and like really orienting music into the cafe and having other artists come in. Like, really was a space to like invent something from nothing, and also and I don't want to say nothing, because they already had a concept and it was beautiful, and it was just like there was obvious needing pizzazz, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it kind of like fed both sides.
They were willing to let me do all the pizzazzing I could, and I'm full of it, you know? And so there was that part. But what I will say that was missing was just like, I felt like I was also still providing somebody else their vision. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That was what was missing. Like, as much as I was loving what was happening, I was like, I'm doing all of this for somebody else's vision. And of course, like, I love giving and love supporting other people.
Right.
But there was this, like, what's my vision? What can I, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what they, that quote that's like, I mean, basically, it's just like, if you don't pursue your own dreams, someone will pay you to build theirs.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, it's like, along those lines.
I never heard that one.
And it's, it's true. And there's a lot of value in, of course, like having those experiences and working for other people and learning from it. But at a certain point, I think it takes a lot to do what you did because of all those factors, the security, the fact that you didn't hate your job. It's not like, oh, I quit this terrible job for my career. Like, that actually takes less than quitting something that you get something out of and you care about. Well, so you said it wasn't necessarily refined down to comedy yet. So do you believe, it seems like you really had to hit like a low. I mean, that's for like most of us, that's really a true SOS moment where you're, and then you have to get yourself out of that. And how did that lead specifically to comedy above all your other artistic interests?
So what happened was...
What happened was...
So my low point was, for me, going back to... When I first moved to LA and like figuring things out, I had this really crappy telemarketing job. And it was like, what was amazing about how they entice you, it's really you're getting membership from, you're renewing memberships from people that have already given to very progressive, nonprofit.
Oh, organization. Yeah.
Greenpeace, HRC was one of my favorites, the human rights campaign as a gay LGBT man, you know what I mean? I was like, I was one of the killers on that one. So there was like, but then there's parts of it that like, cause you're doing, it is telemarketing. They want you to ask for the biggest amounts. Some people you hear have heartbreaking stories of why they can't give and you're supposed to ask three times, don't get off the phone, you know? And so me as the person I am, I'm just like, but did you hear what she said? Like, she, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So I left that job and I was so happy to leave that job. Honestly, I actually left that job for the cafe. And I was like, I'm out here leaving, doing my thing. And then to like have to bite my ego and my pride and like crawl my way back, excuse me, to that company was very like, it really felt for me at the time, and like, I want to say I have some amazing friends that I've met from that company, so no offense to the company itself. It just wasn't a place for me. And to go back there after being so like, I'm never coming back here.
Yep.
You know, was very, and like, because I had friends from that same company and they saw me progressing, being a manager at a cafe, like doing big things, they'd come to see me at the cafe. And then to like, there was a part of me that really did feel like a failure, you know?
Yeah.
And once again, like, how do I, what's next for me really? So anyways, a friend of mine was doing open mics. And at the time, I'm kind of funny, you know. I feel like I have a good personality. And so I was really inspired by him, and having kind of a writing background, I was like, let me try to write some jokes, because I really wanted to have a way to express myself, because I hadn't had a lot of outlets anymore. And so I wanted to do this open mic to even push my boundaries of talking, like public speaking, if you will. Like outside of school, how often do you really, unless you're doing this stuff now, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to do an open mic with you. And honestly, it took me like months and months because I just said it with him, but I was nervous and scared. And basically, one day he was just like, and another friend was like, we're going to do it this day. You're going to come no matter what. We're going to drag you. Have no excuses. And honestly, the very first open mic I did, it really, in that, like getting off that stage and it went well, like it felt like a show to me. It wasn't an open mic. It felt like a show. And I got off that stage and that's for the very first time that I felt like an artist. Like, I always wish that I could play, like, music or sing better or, like, even as a writer, I was just like, you know, I'm whatever. It was just, I hadn't, when you write and you're not getting paid for it or you don't, like, you know, it's like sometimes you're like, yeah, I'm a journaler.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, like, sometimes how I felt. And, but getting off that stage, I was like, this is where I can do it all. I can write, I can be me, I can say my point of view, I can just it was just a like it I just remember that day, that moment, getting like, it's just crazy.
How I wonder if, I mean, there's not really any way to know, but I think about this because coming out the other side of a really dark moment, you don't come out the same way that you went in. And so it is a thing where you wonder, like, oh my God, like, would I have, because you wouldn't have the same depth, the same, whatever it is you're bringing to the table when you go perform now, if you didn't go through what you went through. It's not like you wouldn't be talented because if you're funny, you're funny, but you know what I mean? It's like you have the same, you just have this depth of like, I've been through it and I have some shit to say.
Speaking of going through it, because I know I talked to you prior a little bit, and with everything that's going on with just, you know, social justice and the lack of, and I wonder if you have like a story to tell with that and how that is also kind of
moment. It's so, I love that you ask this and it comes off of the conversation that we're having, because for me, this last, with everything going on, especially since the George Floyd video, but really Breonna Taylor, you know what I mean? There's just been so much going on that just like there's just so much going on. Yeah. I really went through kind of like an identity crisis almost, because I'm like, it's so off brand for me to be so distraught and upset, because like I'm one of the people that, you know, I was out there protesting. I'm sending emails, petitions, whatever you want, send it to me. I'm there. Yeah. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there also is a mental toll it takes, because you're so bombarded with things that are really like you wouldn't want to see ever in a lifetime, you know what I mean? And there's a moment where it was really hard to push through that wanting to numb out, wanting to not talk about it, you know what I mean? Wanting to, like, especially me, I'm like, I see this, I know this, I live it, you know what I mean? I don't have to watch a video to why I do all of that is because here in LA in 2019, I don't want to specifically get into it because it's such a long story, but I was in an Uber ride, and because he didn't want to go through the drive-through, that within 10 minutes we were in this car, he called me a faggot and the N-word.
What?
And told me to get out of his car, and like, I was just so... What? Obviously was gonna get out of the car, but before I got out, I was like, I'm gonna report you and da 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 da. And he got out of his car to get me out, pulled me by my clothes, so I defended myself and the cops were called. And immediately, because I bit his hand and he had a bruise on it, and like I hit him, but it was like the bite that you could physically see. And he told them that like I hurt him or whatever. They came guns blazing, like put me in handcuffs. I'm like literally crying and trying to tell them what he called me, what was happening, what was said. And they literally were telling me to shut up. Like, if you don't want to go to jail, like, if you want to go to jail, keep talking. It was just, it was for me a moment in time that I never saw myself. Like, I just never saw myself in this place. And it's something that it's so crazy. You hear parents talk about, especially African-American or people of color parents talk to their kids about these things. My mom was one of them. She always told me to just, you never know what's going to happen, da-da-da-da-da, be safe, be careful. And I've always told my mom, like, it's me. Like, what do you think I do? What do you think I'm out here? Like, you know what I mean? And it was on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, California, that this was going on. And it changed my life, really. It changed my life in a way that I was like, this doesn't just happen in Minnesota or Georgia or Oklahoma or Kansas, where you think like this is so a big conversation. This happens still even in places that you think are well further ahead.
Are woke,
exactly, right? We all say we're woke in LA, right. And that's why this year, this last 3, 4, 5 months have been so, like, it just hits home, you know what I mean? It really hits home, because it doesn't feel so far away anymore. And all I just wish that we all would just have way more compassion for the people, like, just for who people are, you know what I mean? I know we don't all have the same ideas and thoughts and backgrounds, but having compassion for that. Somebody's a human being, somebody's a mother, a son, you know, they're somebody's family, you know?
Well, and like you saying, you know, in response to your mom when you were younger, like, what do you think I'm out here doing? You know me, like, you're good natured, you're funny, you're just, and that's something that, but like your demeanor is so joyful and peaceful. And I think that's the thing, you know, like, you were considering, because you're only thinking like, well, I am this way, what would I get in trouble for? And I know a lot of white people don't understand that it's like, it's not about you. It's not about who you are, because they don't care who you are. They don't care who you are. They care what you look like. And so you can be, I mean, Elijah McClain, like, you can be the most tenderhearted person and it doesn't matter. And I know, I mean, thank you for sharing that story, because
yeah, thank you.
I really think it's important for people to hear, honestly. I mean, obviously, I mean, white people, black people know this. And it, unfortunately, a lot of white people still pretend to not. And it's just like, I think it's important to hear over and over from different people. You can no longer say, well, it's this type of person that this happens to. You know, thank you for sharing that.
You know, yeah, thank you, guys. And it's sometimes still kind of hard. You know, it's funny because, like, this was over a year ago, and I've, like, my closest people in my life know about this, and I've tried to, like, pursue the driver. And it just, even talking about it, I'm just like, wow, it still hurts a little bit than I thought it did, you know? And it just, I don't want anybody to ever worry about things like that.
Right.
Did that experience, like, kind of affect the way you approached your comedy, your acting, and eventually your amazing podcast Turning Coal into Diamonds? Like, I wonder, like, as an artist, how you kind of can navigate through feelings like that.
Yeah, well, I haven't exactly talked about that specific incident through my comedy, just because I've been trying to. Like, it's a process, and there's so many things to it. Cause, like, for me, especially, comedy is an art that anything that I do, I also do want to make it funny. And one of the things that has really happened for me, which I love, is that even before this, I wanted to always not be just a comedian. I wanted to have a message or something to share with people. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that really progressed through this is I have found a way to, you know, I talk about LGBT rights. I talk about things that happen and, you know, how we treat other people. And I've been able to wrap that into like a message and it be funny. And we can understand like, why is it that up until recently you could be fired from your job in, you know, states for just who you loved, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and so I wrap that into a pretty little joke and people get to hear that.
Yeah.
No, it's easy. It's nice to be able to relate to somebody and feel like you're being seen and you're being heard because there's so many people out there like you. So it's like, well, what advice do you give someone that is that wants to be an artist or is kind of figuring out whether they want to pursue that? I mean, maybe there's other people that's telling them, oh, no. You want money. You want to make money or you know, forget whatever self-expression or creativity you want to give out. Like, what kind of advice would you give to someone approaching that?
Oh, that's such a good one.
It's loaded.
The advice I would give is in some way, shape or form, go for it. You know, take that step forward, whatever that be, to pursue it. Maybe do the research, maybe take a class, whatever. Just find somebody that does it and you hang around them. Whatever the case may be, that is that step forward for you. Because I do think taking those little steps, like some of us want to just jump into the pool, you know, and not even test if it's water, you know?
Yeah, right.
And some people are like dippers, you know what I mean? I think there is just that way to know who you are, but take that step forward, right?
Yeah.
Just because what I'll add to that is I want us all to be our happiest and our best selves. And I think we really are doing that when we are living in our purpose some way. You know what I mean? Being who we truly are meant to be, being our authentic selves. And when you're not expressing yourself or not doing the things that really are part of who you are, I think that takes away from who you are in some small way. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. So, you know, for me, it was going to an open mic and just even writing those jokes, grabbing a journal, whatever, you know, because it is hard. And I know, but I think like, especially in these times, you know, one of the things that I've really looked at is like how my podcast came to be as well. It was like, I don't want to like have regrets, you know, I don't want to be actually, I'll even say this, 2020 has taught us nothing stable.
It's
nothing,
true.
Not a thing.
There's no reason to like hold back in what you want because nothing is guaranteed. We don't know what's coming.
No way. Yeah. And I think we've all learned too from podcasting is like, I know I've always wanted to wait till that perfect moment, till I know everything, have every little detail, have it all mapped out. And by no means has anything, like half of what I've planned has gone to plan, and everything else has been trial and error. That didn't work. I'll do this next time. Or I saw that and I like that. And okay, that works better. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's so funny. It's like, everybody, and especially us, because that's how we came about too. It's just, you know, and especially for me in my own life, it's so easy to make excuses. Like, you will just make excuses for everything. And I love what you mentioned, like people are either they jump right in or they're like toe dippers. And I feel like I've done a little bit of both. But, you know, I love, and I encourage listeners and watchers to kind of figure out what moments you've done that and if it served you or not, because like you said, life is too short to because even if you are a toe dipper, you're at least trying. So it's like, just even if you want to do that, just put your toe in, make that effort. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe you're just chilling by the side and watching, you know, looking at the view, but you're still enjoying the moments in there. Whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing all that. Like,
yeah, thank you.
It's so important to get stories out there like like yours, because like I said, it's just so relatable, and I want to encourage people.
Thank you.
And like, I think it's, oh, sorry.
No.
Like, you be quiet now.
I want to encourage you. Too. Never mind.
Sorry. I don't know. I was going to say that, you know, it's great to hear people's success stories.
Yeah.
But like, if that's all you hear, you're missing a crucial piece of like, I mean, to just hear about somebody's success, it can actually be demotivating, because you're just like, well, I'm definitely not that right now, especially if you're in your low point or you're in, I mean, and honest, this sounds so cliche, but I need to say it for my own self, because I know I'm going to have another SOS moment later in life. And I swear to God, from my experience, and it sounds like everybody we talk to, you, when you're in that lowest point and you're just like, fuck everything, I can't do anything, right around the corner is when it gets, something opens up for you. And I know it doesn't feel like that. And I know it doesn't even help to hear that when you're in it. But looking back, I keep seeing that pattern in life. And that's your story as well. And it's just like, thank you for sharing it, because from all ends of it, from like before, and I was happy at the cafe, and then it went to shit, and then I found my true, like, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, honestly, and I love that you say that, because, or at least the part with, or all of it, but especially the part with that, where those low moments that we have, usually right around the corner. And for me, it's really perspective too, you know what I mean? Because sometimes it really doesn't feel like that, but having that faith or that trust that it is, that like, that light at the end of the tunnel is coming or is there. And that's really what inspired the podcast that I created, Turning Coal into Diamonds. It was a play on my name, of course, Gerard Cole. But it is those coal moments that are like the lows, the whatevers, and they become diamonds, you know, because we all have them. And I do think sometimes it is disheartening always hearing the success, but we all have moments like, hate them or leave them, the millionaires, the whatever. I'm sure there was parts in there, whatever, they second guess, they whatever. You know, we all have those insecurities. And it's, I want us all to see that we really do have them. So if you are worrying about chasing your dreams or going for whatever it is, just like, know that we all face it. It is just about doing it.
And they, you know, it's that whole thing of like fear. There's no such thing as having no fear. What you do is you either give in to the fear or you ignore it.
Yep.
Because it's not like, you can't live without fear. We're human. And it, I mean, anybody who says they got somewhere and like never feared anything is lying. And so it's like, you just either have to choose to turn the other way and live with it, or you give into it. And that's kind of what makes the difference, because nobody goes through life or pursues their dream with truly without fear.
Right.
And that's literally the theme of 2020.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Right. Just give into it.
Yeah. Surrender.
Just be present. Let it happen. Just let it burn. Let it burn.
Thank you again, Gerard. We love you so much. Thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Of course. No, it was such a pleasure. Thank you guys. Like, real talk.
Thank
I'm like,
you.
Wow, I wish my podcast was this good.
But I think people were obviously plugging yours as well, but you know, it's very, ours meltdowns into magic and yours is coal into diamonds. It's like, it just shows how pervasive that's the human experience. That's just the story that every human has on some level. And I encourage people to listen to yours as well, because the more you hear about other, the more, I think the less we judge each other, the more we hear, or the less, sorry, the less we judge ourselves, the more we hear other people's experiences. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, they struggled with this too. We're just very hard on ourselves in general. Everybody is.
So thank you again. Thank you.
Wow. I'm very grateful to Gerard for that, for being so open and for that conversation.
Yep. It's really important. Like, we love having conversations with other artists, but especially like, I mean, talking about, you know, obviously SOS moments, that's our thing, but it's, you know, we're, me and Molly are artists, so we love talking to other artists that go through those moments where you're just like, what the fuck did I do? What am I doing? Because, you know, you can get out of it. It's absolutely a thing you can do. And if we are living proof of that, and the more guests we interview about it, the more, you know, we can prove to you that it's possible to get out of whatever situation.
Right.
If you put your mind to it.
Yeah. And I really want to encourage you guys to follow Gerard on social media. So his Instagram is at I am Gerard Cole, GERARDCOLE. And at his podcast Instagram is at TCID podcast for turning coal into diamonds. So check him out there. And yeah, we'll also let you guys know when we are going to be featured on his podcast.
Yeah. And our charity nonprofit that we wanted to shout out, it's called Artists for Humanity, and they're mostly based in Boston, but I think they're everywhere. I think their model is like used everywhere. But Artists for Humanity provides under-resourced teens the keys to self-sufficiency through paid employment in art and design. AFH is built on the philosophy that engagement in that creative process is a powerful force for social change, and that creative entrepreneurship is a productive and life-changing opportunity for young people. Bridging economic, racial, and social divisions, AFH enriches urban communities by introducing young people's creativity to the business community. To learn more and donate, please visit afhboston.org.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Oh, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SOS Pod.
Yep.
Please rate us, leave a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, helps us out incredibly. Did I say YouTube? You can watch us on YouTube. Search for SOS with Molly and Alyssa. And
watch our beautiful faces, please.
Yes. And here's to turning meltdowns into magic.